In northern Iraq, the Kurds expect to lose some of the seats they currently hold in the country's parliament in Thursday's vote. That's because Iraq's Sunni Arabs are taking part in the election that they boycotted the last time around. Still, Kurdish leaders expect their coalition to win a large enough block of seats to balance the Sunnis and the Shiites. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from the Kurdish city of Sulaymaniyah.
Local politicians have been whipping up Kurdish nationalist fervor ahead of Thursday's vote, organizing a series of free concerts that were attended by thousands and broadcast live on local TV. The star of the show was a singer named Zakaria, a 30-year-old Iraqi Kurd who has lived in exile in Sweden ever since Saddam Hussein's forces crushed the Kurdish uprising of 1991. In between songs, he urged the audience to vote on Thursday for the Kurdistan Coalition. Not a single Iraqi flag was visible among the thousands of flags of Kurdistan displayed here. Offstage, Zakaria winced when a foreign journalist called him an Iraqi.
If you ask me, everyone from Kurdistan, they don't want to hear that we are Iraqi people. Because we want to have a self-country. You know why? We have our language, we have our culture, we have our music. We are different.
Even though most Kurds dream of an independent Kurdistan, the Kurdish leadership has proven adept at pursuing Kurdish interests within the new Iraqi government. Iraq's president is a Kurd, and the new constitution preserves the Kurdistan regional government's autonomy, allowing it to maintain control of its own security forces, while also capturing a large chunk of the Iraqi national budget. The Kurds predict they could lose as many as 20 seats in parliament to Sunni Arabs in the upcoming vote, but Barham Saleh, a Kurdish politician and Iraqi cabinet minister, says he isn't worried.
I think Kurdish position is fairly secure, and if we play our hands right, we can be very influential. In fact, I would say a determining factor for many, many issues in Baghdad. It is not only the number of seats, it's the political weight that we enjoy because of what we have here in Iraqi Kurdistan, Kurdish self-government, the political environment of Kurdistan, the expertise that we have.
With its powerful security force, Kurdistan has largely escaped the daily terrorism of central and southern Iraq. And yet the run-up to the election has been marred by violence. In Kurdistan's third largest city, Dohuk, the three-story building that houses the Kurdistan Islamic Union stands next to a busy highway, gutted and burned, its facade riddled with bullet holes. Last Tuesday, eyewitnesses say a mob of youths backed by Kurdish security forces attacked the headquarters in broad daylight, killing an Islamic Union candidate for parliament and wounding several party workers. Similar attacks were reported against Islamic Union offices in at least five other Kurdish towns controlled by the Kurdistan Democratic Party, one of the two main factions in the Kurdish Electoral Alliance. The Islamic Union is running on a separate ticket, and its leaders allege widespread corruption within the main factions that have governed Kurdistan for the last 13 years. Barham Saleh says while the Kurdish leadership is united in pushing for its Kurdish agenda in Baghdad, the ruling establishment here is split on whether or not to pursue internal reforms in Kurdistan itself.
No, there are some who say things are fine, status quo is acceptable. There are some of us who recognize that the status quo is not sustainable. Saddam Hussein is over. I can no longer blame Saddam Hussein for all the ills of my society and lack of services here and there. We need to do better.
Still, in the eyes of many ordinary Kurds, Kurdish unity and nationalism trump all other concerns in these elections. For the third straight night, carloads of young Kurds swamped the streets of Sulaymaniyah, honking their horns and waving the yellow sunburst flag of Kurdistan. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Iraqi Kurdistan.